Welcome to Sci-Fi in Color, the podcast about science fiction, TV, and film featuring actors, directors, and writers of color. My name is Maggie.
And I'm Melissa. If you want to get in touch with us, you can email us at sfincolor@gmail.com. You can also find us on Facebook, Tumblr, and Twitter as SF in Color.
And today we're talking about Into the Badlands, Season 2, Episode 4, Palm of the Iron Fox. So.
Whoa.
What?
I said whoa.
Why whoa?
I can't believe we are that not through the Badlands yet.
I know, we've stayed far, far away from the Badlands. But we're back! Yeah, it's been a journey, dude. It's been a journey. How is it August already? God. Okay.
That's a good question.
Time! Okay. So, first of all, before we talk about the episode titles, perhaps significance or insignificance...
As the case may be.
What did you think of this episode, Melissa?
I liked it a lot.
I agree. I really enjoyed it. Also, Did you also notice one thing that makes this episode different from all the
No Sunny!
What?
If you had
the key ingredient the entire time not having Sunny? No, I don't think so.
But I think it may have been.
Dang!
Cold.
Oh no.
No, I remember in the preview for the episode, previously on
The Badlands, right?
There was no Sunny. I was like, that's really weird. Why didn't we see him? And then we don't see him at all. And if you had told me going into it that there would be no Sunny, I would have been kind of like,
what?
How could this episode work? But it totally does.
Yeah, I mean, there's also no Lydia, but like, who cares about her?
Okay. Well, there's also no Colt that died last season.
Well, he's dead. And, like, hopefully had stayed dead. Like,
zombies. Like, Zombie Badlands.
I mean,
that would be a show, too.
It's already as intense as it is. I don't think... It's, like, too much. If we added zombies into the mix, it'd be too much. Like, it'd be all over.
Maybe it would, like, push it over the edge and become, like, ridiculous and cheesy.
I disagree with that statement, but...
Okay.
Anyway.
That's fine. You're allowed
to do that. I mean, also, they at least the first season, it would run right after Walking Dead, right? So, like,
yeah.
It's too much. Too much zombies.
You're putting too much realism in my stupid zombie theory, Maggie.
Okay. So, Palm of the Iron Fox. Who is the Iron Fox?
Huh? The Iron Fox is Quinn.
I'd like to propose that the Iron Fox is Chow. You know, the lady with the white fur coat, because she's new and super cool.
She is.
Yeah.
I was really nervous in that final fight scene that she was going to die.
Right? I was like
you introduce someone and then it was awesome and you're going to kill her?
That's what I'm saying. Like, they gave her a name, right? That's number one. They gave her a name. So we were like, you can't. And then, like, they made her too awesome. So it's like, they're probably not going to kill her off, but I'm still nervous. Because, like, maybe, you know?
I mean, they could definitely kill her off later.
Sure. But like, it'd be like a waste of a character to kill her off, like, moments after she was introduced.
Yeah. You know? I would have been disappointed, so I'm glad they didn't do that. But...
Right.
So why do you think that she is the Iron Fox?
Well, one, because it was a new interesting character. And also because, maybe this is definitely too much of a reach. But, in a way. But in, like, East Asian cultures, like, the fox symbolizes, like, they're kind of, depending on which culture we're talking about, they're kind of, like, evil or tricky or something.
Sly.
Usually they take the form of beautiful women, and then they, like, trick, kill, eat, whatever the people in the story. So that's a thing. I will link to it in the show notes. I'm not gonna screw up the pronunciation or anything, but I know it's on Wikipedia. Let's see. Okay, I did remember the pinging for that. So the fox spirits, Chinese mythological creatures. I mean, East Asian in general, because I'm sure, as you know, Melissa, from your K-dramas.
Yes.
What's the name?
I don't wanna.
I'm sorry. But yeah, isn't it Kumiho or something like that?
Yeah.
In Korean culture.
Yeah.
And then I think in Japanese culture, it's like Kitsune or Kitsune or something. I can't even pretend that I know how to pronounce the Chinese, which is hilarious because I apparently know how to pronounce the Korean and the Japanese one. I think it's, I don't know the tones, but it's something like Huli Jing or something. I'm totally messing that up. Sorry, y'all. Anyway, good or bad omens. They can transform into humans.
I can kind of see that.
Yeah.
It's an interesting interpretation.
Let's see.
You see, I thought Quinn was the Iron Fox, not because I think he's an Iron Fox as he is, because the title is Palm of the Iron Fox, and I feel like everyone was really in Quinn's palms this episode, even though like all of the barons are fighting it out and things feel really important to them and blah 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 blah. Everyone is actually just still in Quinn's hands, and that's, you know, true. Even though you know, we got Vale trying to escape, and that was heartbreaking.
Oh my god. Oh my god. I felt for Vale. I was also kind of internally screaming, like, lady, I know you're... I was, like, cheering her on, but I was also, like, internally, like, lady, I know this is tough, but, like, I know you're super smart, and you have perseverance, so I know you can get... I know you can do this, like... So, like, I'm just like, oh, man. Like... But her situation, yeah, we'll get more into that.
Well, yeah, we'll get into that. But, you know, even she was kind of stuck in Quinn's palms.
Mm. That's good. It could be both things. They're both Iron Foxes. How about that?
I think that it's probably neither things, and it's just a random word generator. But okay.
Probably, right? And it's fun to try to make it work, though.
Yeah.
Okay, so I will put a link in the show notes to the Wikipedia article on fox spirits in East Asian culture. And let me minimize that for now. Oh my gosh, my voice is so messed up. Why is it so messed up? Okay.
That's how it always sounds.
Rude. Okay. So, let me get back to my notes. Okay. I don't know. There's something about the show. Maybe it's because I've been away from it for so freaking long. But it just brings out the snark in me. Like, I just get really sassy with my notes, like, the first 10, 15 minutes of the show. After that, it drops off, because then I get reinvested in, like, the show's actual plotline, and start paying more attention, but I just have a page full of snarky notes at the beginning. Anyway, anything you want to start off with, Melissa? Because I don't want to talk about my garbage commentary.
I think your garbage commentary probably is amazing, but if you insist...
I'll get to it later.
It's interesting because you can't really divide out the characters.
No, not really.
Because they're extremely interconnected.
I mean, Vale's kind of off in her own little bubble, I guess.
Yeah.
That's really the only...
But, you know, like... I can, and that ending, man. We'll get to it, but... Oof. Mm. Anyway. Quinn... It's time for his glorious return. And it is... We have been waiting for it. Even though we hate him.
Yeah, I have to say. Like, maybe the... No. Definitely the one and only time I was even remotely cheering for Quinn was in this episode when he was doing his dramatic AF walkout into the courtyard. I was like...
Oh my god, same.
Oh my god,
Quinn! This is getting real in here!
Yeah, like, that was basically me. That was basically me, because I was like, oh my gosh, it's about to go down. It's gonna be great. I cannot wait to see everyone, like,
pee lose their minds.
And
when
they see Quinn walk into the court, it's gonna be wonderful. It's gonna be great.
Yeah.
Because it just disrupts. I mean, everyone kind of, all the barons kind of came into this conclave with, like, an idea about how things were gonna go down and what they were gonna do.
They were wrong.
All these different, like, scenarios, like, okay, if the widow does this, then we're gonna do this, and blah, blah. And it was like, guess what, guys? Quinn's back, and he just, like, ruined everyone's plan. It was wonderful.
It really was. Everything else just kind of falls away. Mm-hmm. And in a way, kind of invalidates a lot of, like, what the conclave was about in terms of, like, the viewers, because all of what we see does not matter anymore.
Right.
But I liked it.
Yeah.
Because you knew it was coming. Mm-hmm. So you were just waiting for that moment when everything was going to be turned upside down. Yeah. And,
it's so like good. Seeing, like, someone do Jenga.
Yeah.
And that's it's like, fair. Yeah. But you know one of the pieces, like, the one of the bottom pieces is, like, I don't know, filled with termites and about to crumble at any second. That's a really good metaphor. I don't know what I'm saying. But, like, you know what I mean? Like, it's like,
yeah.
It's a very precarious situation, but you know it's about to get so much worse.
Yes.
Or anyway.
It's good.
Whatever.
That was great. A nice metaphor. I appreciate
okay,
that.
Okay.
But you know what I also liked about Quinn was his speech at the beginning of the episode before he goes and attacks, or he begins the attack, really.
He is such a ham. Oh, my God.
I mean, yes, he is. But, like, it wasn't just that, like, his men were eating it up, because they totally were.
Oh, yeah.
But there was something about him that I could imagine how he became the Baron.
Yeah.
And I feel like we often complain about how incompetent Quinn is and how bad
what
he is at manipulating.
Tumor? Where did the tumor go? Huh, Quinn? Huh?
I don't even want to talk about that.
Dude, I'm like so sure that Vale this whole time has been thinking that she's been making him worse, but she's actually accidentally been making him better. Because there's no, like, how? How?
How dare you accuse Vale of incompetency?
I mean, I wouldn't, but it's just...
No, I know. It doesn't make any sense.
It does not make sense. Anyway, back to you.
Back to me. You know, it was... You could see the beginnings of, like, Quinn being great. And he's been so lackluster in terms of his manipulation and his... I mean, I think we discussed in the previous episode as well, where he was working with that the young... man who was afraid to kill.
Oh, right. And we actually understand, like, how he was able to utilize him.
Right.
This episode.
It was good. And it made me believe in Quinn a little bit more.
Right. As, like, a leader, whatever, tyrant type.
Yeah. And, I mean, obviously I'm not rooting for him because he's the worst. But, like,
literally.
He isn't the worst.
Who's worse than Quinn?
I don't know.
That guy? The guy who was, like, keeping Sunny holed up in that, like, chain gang thing? I guess he could be
I don't know. I think because we're more familiar with Quinn, he doesn't feel as, like, inherently menacing as the other Barons that we don't know about.
They're menacing, but, like, I don't think they're... worse. I mean, we have no proof either way, right? If they're
right.
Worse or better. We just know they're all nefarious, you know, whatever characters.
Yeah. Wait, I have a question.
Yes.
So Jacoby died last season.
We saw, I was looking out for him, or someone in his colors, and there was a dude wearing his colors, so I assume that's the guy who took over after Jacoby was
but
killed?
Wasn't, what's her name?
The Widow?
No, Zephyr?
Oh, yeah. What about Zephyr?
Wasn't she supposed to be the...
Oh, yeah, that totally got retconned. What happened to that?
Yeah, the whole thing was that she was supposed to be the Baron after Jacoby, right? Or am I messing things up?
That feels... It's been such a long time, too. let me go on the internet and find out. Let's see. Zephyr. Badlands.
Don't get spoiled, though.
Yeah, hopefully this doesn't... I don't think he's coming back, though. She was Jacoby's regent.
I mean, I guess we can guess that, like, something went down.
Let's
but,
see.
Like, you know, it's possible that she became
hold
Baron
on, hold
and
on.
Then was, like...
Hold on. There's, like, an ad that started playing. Stop. I think... Yeah, she doesn't come back in season... She's only in season one. And I think she's dead? I'm so confused. What's happening? I'm just looking at this fandom Wikipedia or Wikia article, as it were. Let's see. Zephyr meets with Sunny, then she meets with Ryder. Blah, blah, blah.
I don't remember her dying.
I know. I don't remember that her either, but it says... status deceased. So when did this... Oh! Oh my god, sorry. There's like a really distracting ad that's playing. Let's see. Zephyr and Ryder meet near river. There's a standoff between Zephyr, Jacoby, and Ryder with Quinn and MK. Quinn cuts MK's back, making his eyes go black. And then, I guess, MK throws Jacoby and Zephyr into a wall, killing them. When did this happen? I don't have no recollection. Was this the finale?
Okay. It was the finale, and I do remember this.
This is apparently in Hands of Five Poisons or something. What's this about Palm with Iron... I'm so confused. Anyway, apparently...
No, that's the last episode of the first season. The point, I thought, was... I remember that happening, but I did not... think that had killed her.
Oh, I guess maybe it's supposed to be heavily implied that she was killed in that battle then.
I guess.
It's Badlands. I mean,
Quinn didn't survive. I mean, Quinn survived his thing, but she didn't, whatever. You know what? Whatever.
That's true.
Whatever.
I keep thinking that the person who played Zephyr was that lady in Heroes, and I know it's not her, but I keep...
What lady in Heroes?
The Allie one with the evil twin or whatever, yeah.
Oh my god, I'm so good. Yeah, no, it's definitely not her.
I know it's not her, but she looked enough like her that I'm like, Anyway. Back to this. So, we were talking about Quinn, his leadership abilities...
We get that nice creepy moment before Quinn goes off to the battlefield with, his conversation with the Vale. Oh, God.
God, he's so... I mean, like, it's so weird because, like, when he... I mean, it's all for nefarious purposes, right? But when he really wants to take care of, like, say, a baby or a child, like, he will do it.
He commits.
Right? Like, he really does commit. But, like, at the same time, it's, like, it's so just gross and, like, why? He just, like, Quinn just, like, ruins everything he touches. He just makes everything so uncomfortable.
Yeah. Ugh. He definitely makes everything uncomfortable.
Yeah.
But something, I mean, he keeps rising to the top. How?
Because he's a ruthless piece of...
Garbage.
That's why. And he's willing to do pretty much anything to remain in power. I mean, minus the part where he tried to get his son to kill him to succeed him, and that didn't really work out.
That was weird.
I kind of got it though, because it's.
I mean, I got the point of it, but it was still weird.
It's weird, but he's weird because Quinn's weird.
Quinn is weird. Anyway. It just felt very contrary to. Quinn up to that point in that episode, but you know what?
I see what you mean. But yeah, so Quinn goes to lead. So like, I guess they've all switched to black now as colors. I know that happened earlier, but it didn't become super obvious to me until this episode that like he's black. It's not red anymore or whatever.
Yes.
So and then now Quinn has got the whole. He didn't quite have the guyliner thing down, but he definitely has, like, the black smudges under the eyes thing down, so that's interesting.
He was very,
he changed his aesthetic.
Yes,
he's, like,
yes.
A goth prince lord now.
A goth prince lord. I like that. I thought of him more as a barbarian king, but that works.
Yeah, too. No, I see that. You know what's funny? I told you about it, actually. It was, like, this weird, metal rock opera thing.
Yeah.
And, like, it was a little bit reminiscent of the whole Barbarian King having, like, eye black and stuff. Yeah, it was, very reminiscent of that. Also, he had, like, the whole, like, black chunky boots thing going on. I was like, oh, man, he's done a 180 on his aesthetic. He really has.
Yeah, no. He's much closer to my aesthetic now.
Your aesthetic is not that, like, industrial or goth or whatever. What are you even talking about?
I wish it was.
Do you?
I don't know.
I did not know this about you, Melissa. Also, I know this is like a detail, but, like, when he was touching, I don't know if it was when Quinn was touching Henry or Vale or both, but, like, he has some dirty fingernails, yo. Like, it's, like, just clean that ish, man. It was nasty.
Maybe it's like symbolism because, like, you know, like.
Well, Quinn is clean. Gross and disgusting. I mean, remember when he tried? Well, no, he didn't try. He had sex with what's her face after he like was covered in blood or something.
Oh yeah,
like, he's gross.
Yeah, he. But like,
he probably has like 15 venereal diseases. Like,
at least, but
maybe it led to the whole tumor. Who knows? Syphilis.
I don't know. But he, you know, fingernails are often associated with like class. So like if when they're clean, it means you don't do any manual labor.
Right.
But when they're dirty, like his are, it means like he's really getting into like the gritty part of ruling. And he, at least according to his men, he feels like one of them.
That is a good interpretation. I mean, I mainly or was looking at it shallowly dirty. And was like, oh god, you're gross. But I mean,
it is
that,
gross.
I think that interpretation works. Let's see.
Oh, and he gives the ring to Vale before he leaves.
Oh, yeah. I totally wrote down a GPS tracker when he gave her the ring. I know it's not a thing. Like, I don't even think these people know that satellites even existed in the past. But, like, just jokingly, I wrote down GPS tracker.
Yeah, if that was a modern day thing, I would definitely be thinking that. It was kind of a thing of trust to give it to her. And yet at the same time,
was it though? I feel like Quinn's very... he's not dumb enough to trust Vale. Like, that's why he left. He left the guard and it was locked and all that other stuff. Like, you know?
Yeah. No, I don't think he trusts her, but it's still showing that there's something quote unquote genuine between them. And it's also, I think, it's kind of like him really embracing his new identity, because it's the old Baron symbol. It's the armadillo.
You know, I went to the zoo yesterday and saw some armadillos. Yeah. They were very cute. I didn't pet it because I didn't want to like have to use hand sanitizer after or anything like that. But, and I don't know if it's the case for, like, all armadillos or just the zoo ones, but I know it was, like, a little area that was set aside where you could, like, touch and pet the armadillos, and the zoo staff that were there were like, oh, yeah, like, you can touch them, like they just eat bugs, and I don't know if they remove their teeth or they, something like that, but they're like, yeah, they're pretty harmless, and I was like, armadillo.
I don't know. Anyway. Why the armadillo?
That's like, it's such a nonsensical, like, it, other than the fact that it looks cool and it's like, I guess has a very high defense, like, there's not really much else to, they're like adorable. And they just eat bugs, they're not even like ferocious or anything.
That's very cute. Maybe that fits Ryder better than it fits Quinn.
even an armadillo can fight back better than freaking Ryder.
Ryder's the worst.
Also, this is just for you, Melissa, but there was a bear cat at the zoo, but he was sleeping in a hammock, so I couldn't see it. So I just saw, like, a little fuzzy thing in a little hammock, and I was like, oh, man. Anyway, I just went to the zoo yesterday because it's, like, free for city residents on the first Saturday of the month. But anyway, end story about the zoo. I mean, we can talk more about that later. anyway, let's go back to the zoo that is the Batmans.
Oh, that was a beautiful transition. Thank you.
Hey.
Oh, you know what I liked was... When Quinn quoted the Robert Frost poem, and Ice.
Oh, I totally missed that.
Oh, no. Some say the world will end in fire. Some say in ice. From what I've tasted of desire, I hold with those who favor fire.
Oh, wow. I really am the worst English major.
Oh, I mean, I probably got some words wrong, but that's essentially what it is. Though it's interesting because that's as far as he quotes. He doesn't quote the last line.
Which is?
But if the world had to perish twice, I think I can't remember the exact phrasing, but it's essentially,
like,
yeah, the ice is also great. Like, the potential for it to vanish, perish in ice, also great. I butchered it. I'm sorry, Robert Frost. R.I.P.
We should look it up. What's this called? Fire and ice.
I really liked it back when I read it in high school. But the whole point is that Quinn quotes the part about the world ending in fire, even though the whole thing of the poem is, the ending, is that it could end in ice as well.
No, it's a very short poem. So here it is. I have it from Wikipedia. Hopefully this is correct. Some say the world will end in fire, some say in ice. From what I've tasted of desire, I hold with those who favor fire. But if it had to perish twice, I think I would know enough of hate to say that for destruction, ice is also great and would suffice.
I was pretty close.
Did he just rhyme ice twice? Okay, whatever. I mean, like, writing poems in English is hard, though. Yeah. No, like, he left out the part, I think I know enough of hate, dot, dot, dot. Yeah, coin, you, like, cut out, like, the most important part.
Yeah.
Okay.
But it's interesting because he, it does say something about him, because he isn't hating, he's desiring.
Right. So, this is my first time encountering the poem and realizing it's a Robert Frost poem. So it says, and I don't know, this is, it's sourcing some kind of literary critic, but let's see. Fire is being likened to desire and ice is being likened to hate. So yeah, it's more, is that true though, that Quinn's doing this more out of desire than hate? I feel like it's like both.
I don't know. I feel like it's desire.
Oh, apparently this is...
mostly because he told us, but...
True.
He just literally told us. But it's also... he wants... I guess what he wants is revenge. And
right.
What's motivating that is either the want or the revenge. And he's saying, I want it more than... You know what I mean?
Yeah, I guess I see that. Yeah.
But the two are very linked.
It's interesting. Apparently this poem was inspired by Dante's Inferno, which was pretty dope. I remember reading that. I read Dante's Inferno in high school. I didn't read the specific Robert Frost poem, but anyway. All right.
Let me tell you just a brief side note.
Sure.
This poem was before one of the Twilight books. It was included before...
Really?
I don't remember which one, but... I remember when it was included, I felt very, like, defensive, because I was like, oh, everyone's going to know this poem now, and,
no,
like, I liked this poem before it was cool.
Hipster.
I know, right? I'm a horrible person.
You're not a horrible person. Anyway, okay. back to the show. I really like the use of overhead shots a lot in this episode.
Yes.
I think they do it at the beginning with the grappling hook. They do it again when everyone's squaring off in the courtyard. Which is like,
I loved
dope.
That.
Oh my god, it was so cool.
That moment was, I think, probably my favorite
so
shot
good.
Of the whole
so
episode. Because it was like the widow was battling with, who was she battling
was
with? Chow, yeah. But everyone else is battling too, and it's beautiful.
So
it's
good.
Just, it's
so,
so
good.
Good.
And let's see. I also liked the insane red lighting on Quinn at the very beginning of the episode. It was just such a, like, look at this evil villain who is evil, like, red lighting, you know?
Badlands has never been great with subtlety.
It's really not subtle at all. What other dumb notes do I have?
I don't know, but I'm sure you have a lot of intelligent ones.
Aw, thank you. I wrote some silly comment down
this is
about,
just...
like...
This podcast is just us validating each other.
It's important to validate your friends. Anyway, so I wrote down a little silly note about, like, gotta get that vitamin D for the baby. At least for, like, the whole, like, oh, we gotta, like, make sure he gets his sunlight and fresh air or whatever.
Yeah.
I wrote down for Quinn, black leather edgelord. I like the... I'm just going, like, down through my crazy notes. Chainmail gloves... that the widow puts on. So good.
Oh, the
so
widow's outfit is gorgeous.
I also, like, I hope they got some, like, accolades for some costuming stuff, because, like, I don't, like, they probably didn't, but, like,
they probably
those,
didn't.
Those chainmail gloves were A+, man.
I think,
oh my goodness.
Ugh, so
everything
many of the outfits are just, ugh, they're so good.
I like the, I'm getting way ahead of myself here, but, I really like the whole, like, Chow's in white fur, the widow's in black fur. It's a nice, like, contrast thing.
Yeah, I really liked that, especially when they were talking alone in the woods.
Oh, yeah. So
when they kind of went out from them, you could just see, like, the black and the white, and it was very dramatic.
Yeah, I thought it was kind of dumb that both of them were wearing heels, especially when you're walking around in a forest. Like, you're just going to sink into the ground. But, yeah. I mean, for the widow, it was like she literally used a stiletto as a stiletto. So, yeah. Like, that I kind of get. But,
I respect,
like,
that.
You're telling me that you both are going to walk in the woods with high heels in the mud and the grass, where you're literally going to sink into the ground.
Well, no. Maybe it's colder, so the ground's hard, so they're not going to sink into it. I'm literally just making stuff up. I have no idea.
That's true. I mean, they were both wearing fur coat things, so, like, I guess.
But then their feet would be cold.
Tis true. Anyway, I just, like,
the struggles of
fashion. The whole thing with, like, woman wearing heels in, like, action things is so dumb to me. Like,
yeah,
you're clearly not going to wear heels in these situations. But whatever. No. I guess I'll just have to let it go because we're in the Badlands. But,
well, this isn't even a Badlands problem.
Just
this
dumb,
is
yeah,
a universal, like, action problem.
I'm just like, it's so freaking dumb. Like, I don't even know people who wear heels on the daily, you know?
I mean,
some people do it for work, right? Like, but they're not even, like stiletto heels like that. Like, your feet are really going to get so messed up. Like, I don't know. It just strikes me as very, very irrational. Especially, like, in a society where, you know, these two women need to battle it out all the time. Like, there's no way you're wearing heels that are going to mess up your feet and your form and, like, literally everything. Like, it's so dumb. But you're right. It's not a Badlands problem. It's just, like, a general action trope problem, because I know people were complaining about this in, like, what was it, Jurassic World or whatever?
Yeah. But let me offer this as a slight just devil's advocacy here. The widow, especially, is very aware of the way that she's being perceived.
Right.
And so she is, I guess both of them to a degree, but they're both trying to project images. And so the fact that they're wearing heels is kind of to invoke femininity.
Right.
And to maybe have people, quote-unquote, underestimate them.
Yeah.
I don't think that's true. I'm just...
I get that that's not what the balance is trying to do, but that's how we can try to rationalize it in the universe. I get that. I just feel like the whole getting dressed up and putting on makeup and doing all those things is, like, to me, would be enough. You know, like, you don't need to add heels on top of that, but I understand what you're, like, how you can try to explain it in a way that kind of makes some semblance of sense. But yeah, I know. It's a trope that I want to see die, because it's so dumb.
It is.
It's such a dumb trope.
If you really have to have women wearing heels,
swap them out, you know? Like, why can't, like, maybe it's too much for the wardrobe department or anything, but, like, come on, guys.
No, I just mean, like, there are more comfortable, effective heels to move in.
Yeah, like, I'm not even saying, like, the people who do wear heels all the time are probably not wearing stilettos 24/7, you know?
Yeah.
Anyway, that's just my little rant about heels. I think it's dumb, and I'm gonna move on. So, is there anything you want to address that happened in the beginning of the episode before we go to that little conclave thing?
I mean, we do have to take a little detour later on, but we can do that at the end to MK and Vale.
Oh, okay.
I know, I forgot about MK too.
Oh man, I did forget about it. Do you want to address that right now before we forget again? I feel like it's going to slip our mind.
Okay, let's do it.
Okay, MK, so he's still trying to access that kind of, like, weird, hidden dream state of his that's apparently extremely dangerous for him because he apparently can get hurt in the dream.
Well, MK don't care.
Well, MK's a reckless teenager with a... He's just...
complex.
I was gonna say, like, with a... because of our conversation before the pod, I was gonna say, like, with his underdeveloped brain, but that sounds really rude. Anyway.
All teenagers have underdeveloped brains. We have underdeveloped brains.
That's true, unfortunately. Still a couple years away. But yeah, like... MK, classic MK making bad choices in his life.
I don't think he knows how to make good choices.
Yeah, he's just sort of stuck in a pattern of making bad choices.
But I thought we would get something to do with, like, the evilness we had seen with
We finally see his mom, which is really...
Well, no, I meant, like, with the monks. Like, we were going to get more background into the monks, but then he just goes and he goes into the dream state. And he actually does see his mother.
Yeah.
And, you know, we get some information that we already had guessed.
Right.
Essentially.
He accidentally killed his mother.
Awkward.
I mean, no, yeah. At this point, I think it's pretty much confirmed that he accidentally killed his mom.
Yeah.
And
I mean,
so that's just really sad because, like, his whole driving force has been, like, his search, right?
Yeah. It's sad. We had definitely guessed it before because it makes sense, but it's still really, really sad.
The one thing that's giving me pause, though, is the fact that, like, remember how way back in season one, Sunny activated this response, right? This whole demon comes out when he gets cut or bleeds or whatever response. And he's able to survive, right? And then also there's some stuff with, like, Tilda in season one where he doesn't kill her because he likes her. So, like, I'm assuming that his feelings of love for his mother are much stronger than any feelings he would have towards Sunny or Tilda. So what, like, why did that not... Was it a matter of timing? Like, he didn't have enough training? Or what's the deal with that? You know, like, there's still a part of me that's like, maybe she didn't... Maybe it was all... I don't know. Maybe it was all set up. Maybe she didn't die because of him? Because I don't even... I feel like there'd be something in him that would prevent him from doing that, maybe? Because that's happened in the past. If that makes sense?
It definitely does make sense. But I would... I kind of chalked it up to, like, the training he had in season one, which had given him the better control over his abilities. But, I mean, it definitely could be a setup. I just... We're getting these memories from inside his own brain.
Right, and his whole
demon
self is taunting him and whatever, so...
So it doesn't feel... It feels like, well, who would be doing the setting up? The demon?
Right, and the demon is technically him, so... Yeah. It's... Yeah. I don't know, I find MK's demon arc thing kind of interesting, because I feel like it's probably... Almost definitely is some kind of deeper metaphor for something else. I don't know if it's supposed to stand in for, like, mental illness or something else, but it could be an interesting way to read it. I just... I'm a little conflicted, because obviously it's, like, more supernatural than, like, any real-life situation. But, you know, like, I feel like it must stand for something else, but I'm not... I don't feel confident in picking any particular direction, you know?
Yeah. I don't... I can't really think of anything comparable unless you want to think of, like... anger issues or something.
I mean, I guess, like, in a very general sense, it's like that, it could be like the whole everyone else that has that, like, self-sabotaging,
yeah,
it's like kind of person inside them that ruins things.
What show was really good with the metaphors for the supernatural was Buffy.
Of course.
It was very good.
Totally aside. Random aside, but did you hear that Joss Whedon's script for Wonder Woman was, like, absolutely horrible?
No.
Well, now you know. Apparently, it was, like, really bad. But thankfully, that's not the one that got made, so... It all worked out in the end. Anyway, sorry to diss your favorite writer. Well, not your favorite
He's not my favorite writer.
I'll take that back. But one of your top TV writers, anyway. And back to the show! We're getting really off topic this episode. Okay. Any more notes you want to talk about at the beginning? I mean, we're done with MK, right? Because we just got some more backstory about, like... I mean, we just kind of got this reveal about what happened.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, we get to
meet his mom for, like, 2 seconds.
And we also... Okay. You know what I kept thinking about? And this is the stupidest thing. But when he's in that room of mirrors and there's all those candles, did he light the candles or were the candles already lit?
It's such a Badlands thing. Remember we talked about the whole candle thing? Like, remember how I was talking about how, was it in Waldo's home that there was, like, 50 candles in the entire room. Like, yeah. It's just a bad Lannister, dude. Just gonna let it go. This candles just randomly
appear. I can't.
Lit candles just randomly appear. Also, there's a mirror. There's a bunch of mirrors, right? So I think...
Well, no, but there was at least, like, 6 candles.
I think they were already lit, and then he passed out. I don't think he lit them himself.
Oh, no. I don't think he lit them himself. Or, like, with his abilities. But, like, does the room only work with the candles lit, so did he have to light them before he went into the dream state or whatever?
No, dude, I think from a purely production standpoint, as viewers, it would be really hard to see him if he was lying down in a darkened room of mirrors. That would kind of defeat the purpose of TV.
I suppose.
It's just pretty, okay? Let it go!
I can't.
Anyway, so that's it for MK?
Yep.
Okay.
We, you know, not much development on his front.
Right. We get Tilda for like 2 seconds.
Yeah, we do. We get a little bit of her.
Day with her little throwing stars. But my question for you, Melissa, is when she's talking to that previous doll,
yeah.
Do you ship it?
No, I don't ship it. Because...
Were you getting the hints of a ship, though? Because I was getting the hints of a ship.
I was, but I don't trust the doll. She seemed like she had something
nefarious
going on. Yeah, there was something about her that she was trying to drive a wedge between Tilda and the widow.
Oh, yeah. No, I definitely feel like she's, like, up to something, for sure. But at the same time, like, I feel like they're also trying to get us to ship it. And I'm like, interesting. Okay.
And it is interesting.
I wrote down arsonist. But I don't know who I'm referring to. Am I referring
maybe
to
MK? For lighting all those candles.
Oh, I definitely was. Because then I wrote down in my notes later, you smoking, son. And I'm pretty sure that was in reference to MK. Because he was... What did he do? He grabbed the origami animal and burned it and then sniffed it?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
It was just a weird thing.
Well, I mean, that's how he does it. But I kind of had forgotten...
Yeah,
like,
I was like,
what are you doing? And then
yeah,
I was like, oh, of course.
Because it's been such a long time since I've seen an episode of Badlands, and I was like, I don't know if I'm misremembering how the show goes. I'm just going to roll with it like I do with everything in this show.
That's a good way to deal with it.
I did write down, okay, I'm going to the MK section of my notes. I said, is his dark side messing with him? But, I mean, probably not.
It's possible, but I don't think so.
And then I wrote down mirrors so...
infinite.
No. I don't know if I write down good or... It doesn't... I don't know what I wrote down. Anyway.
Whatever.
Yeah. Shall we move on to Vale and her escape?
That was the worst part of the episode.
It was just so heart-wrenching, man.
Yeah.
I don't know. I felt like Vale was giving up very quickly, but I also think maybe I shouldn't be so hard on her because she's literally been a prisoner for God knows how long. And it was just so... It's like, it's not really a thing you can plan. It's not like she could have... Like, there's only so much planning she could have done before Quinn left, so I can't even really begrudge her that. But it was just so frustrating and just depressing. Because she tried a grappling hook. And
yeah,
that's not really working out. And plus, there's bars on the top, so how's she gonna break out, right? Then she tries, then she has to drug the guy who's being super nice to her.
I know.
And
Edgar.
Make a break for it. Edgar. She makes a break for it, but doesn't have the key, and the guy comes out. She has to, like, basically kill him. And she still... And then the key breaks, right?
Yeah, that's just not fair, man. It's just...
And it's just like, what, I mean... I feel there's got to be some other way. There's got to be some, like, freaking, I don't know, bolt cutters or something. Like...
Yeah.
There's got to be something. Like, she's such a smart... She's... I mean, I don't know. I feel like up till now, Vale has been portrayed as a very smart woman. So, I feel like there's got to be some way for her to get out before Quinn gets back. Like...
Well, that's what I was thinking. But then we don't see her for the rest of the episode. The last thing we see of her is just her...
What, I mean,
like, crying at the bars.
Right. I'm just trying to think, how is this going to play out? Because is she really going to just let Quinn come back and see that she's killed a man? Because it's going to make everything worse. Like, she has to get out. Like, otherwise, okay, the next steps are Quinn comes back, sees she's killed a man. I mean, couldn't he just straight up kill Vale at this point? Like, what does he need her for? What, the tumor?
The tumor treatment
that's apparently is working too well? Like, I don't think Quinn's gonna just, like, be okay with Vale killing one of his men. Because, and then he's gonna be even more strict about, I don't know. Right. It just, I mean, it's possible, right? Like, this show is not afraid to make us very dark and make us very depressed. I mean, that was basically all season one was, like, Sunny could not leave the Badlands. And I don't want this, I just don't want another rehash of that with, like, Vale cannot leave the prison. Like, you know?
Yeah, I was really excited for her to actually possibly get out.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe in the next episode, Sunny will just pop in through the roof or something. That would be great. It's completely not going to happen.
We don't know what he's been up to.
But he also he has no idea where she is. So I don't.
Yeah. Well, maybe he did. Maybe he, during this episode where all this other stuff was going on, he was like figuring out everything.
The Bloodhound. You know, I mean, I think it's very unlikely, but if the whole next episode is literally just Sunny and Baji and them finding Vale, I mean, it's not going to happen.
No, it's
but
not.
Because that's not how the Badlands, that's not how the show operates. It always does, like, the split narratives of, like, at least five characters thing. But, like, that'd be really funny if that were the case. I mean, but it's too hopeful for this show. It's too, like, light.
No, if you think something's going to go well, it's not. Yeah. That's it. That's the secret.
That's the show.
There are a lot of shows that I actually avoid because of that very issue. Like shows that people recommend to me, but all I do when I see people talking about them is I see them complaining about how mad and sad they are. And I'm like, why would I start that show?
Why would I subject myself to this?
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Supernatural. What?
Anyway. So, shall we move on to, I guess, like, the whole conclave situation?
Well, just to linger on Edgar for a second.
Oh, right. Yeah. Okay.
Okay, first, he was so nice.
Yeah.
But, like, it was really interesting, that scene with the poison, or, you know, the whatever, the something to knock him out for an hour.
Should have been longer than an hour. Is all I'm going to say. Should have been longer than an hour.
Exactly. But it was really interesting to, like, watch Vale go through with it.
Mm-hmm.
And especially when Edgar is talking about Sunny.
It was like, let's make this the most painful thing she could possibly endure, right?
Yes.
Like, oh my gosh.
Yeah, because, you know, he remembers Sunny as a killer.
Yeah, it's still, like, a lot, though, because it's like, Vale's like, yeah, I don't really see him that way, but, you know.
You know.
Part of me wonders, I don't know if she would have been successful with this route either, but if Vale had tried to do the long con, like some psychological mind tricks with Edgar, where, like, she was able to get him to, like, help her escape. Very risky, right?
Right.
But potentially could have gone a lot better than whatever just happened in this episode.
I was hoping that she was going to actually kind of try and use his admiration for Sunny, but...
I don't even know if that would have worked either because, like,
he's too scared of Quinn.
Yeah, he knows Quinn's going to kill him if he does anything like that. So, like, I don't know if that really would have worked.
Everything's hopeless.
Yeah. That's the Badlands for you, pretty much.
Well, it is called the Badlands. I think we should have gotten the hint.
Yeah. I mean, I was thinking a little bit more about the title this morning, and I was thinking, well, like, I know I kept kind of complaining, like, aren't they in the Badlands? Why is it called Into the Badlands? But isn't, I mean, that weird, like, no man's land territory that Sunny goes into at the beginning of the season. Beginning of the season. Like, is that the Badlands?
No.
Am I misinterpreting everything?
No.
Like,
he's out of the Badlands. He's trying to get back in.
Right. Because I was like, I kind of don't know. I was like, am I misremembering what land or title what in the show? But then also, like, why in God's name would the Barons call their own land the Badlands? It's literally the dumbest thing.
Well, I mean, part of it is that... Actually, never mind.
It's dumb.
Yeah.
It's dumb.
I was going to say that...
It's stupid.
They're trying to make everyone fear the outside lands, but that doesn't make sense. You would call your own lands the good lands and the outside lands the bad lands.
I don't know if you'd call it the good lands, but you would definitely call the outlying areas the bad lands. Why would you call your own land the bad lands? It's so dumb.
Or you'd call them the okay lands.
Anyway, just a little thing I was thinking about, because I was like, that doesn't make sense that they would call their own land the bad lands.
Well, okay, let me say this then. They're trying to dissuade, like, the cogs and whatever, all the people in the Badlands from running away because the area is supposedly so dangerous.
Right. I just think we had to let this one go because it's just stupid. It's just stupid.
Trying to rationalize it, Maggie.
You can't rationalize Badlands, man. You can't even rationalize the name. I was noticing some other lighting stuff. So, with Waldo, when he's talking, there's one scene where he's talking to a widow, and there's, like, a very deep shadow on his face, and I was like, is this supposed to signal some kind of betrayal?
Yeah, treachery.
But nothing happened in this episode that really constitutes a betrayal. But I don't know, it's making me think that they're trying to, like, hint that all, that even though he doesn't really display it in his voice or his actions, like, also Walt's also up to something, so
I wouldn't put it past him that he's up to something, but I don't think it's that nefarious, because it doesn't seem like in his best interest to take the widow down, because that's who he sided with.
I don't know, lighting was a very deliberate choice, because in that scene the widow is facing the window, so her face is completely lit up, whereas Waldo's not facing her, but he's also, like, generally I don't know. I feel like that lighting was a hint to something going on with Waldo. I'm not sure what yet.
Yeah, I don't know what it is. I don't know how evil it is.
Yeah. Yeah. We were talking about, or not we were talking about, I think we maybe mentioned this in a previous episode, but, like, Ryder and his whole thing with, like, I guess kind of becoming his father in a way. Not really, but, like, kind of. And I was like, oh, yeah, he's, like, trying to grow out a beard and be, like, Quinn or whatever. Be a man. Not really. He kind of completely failed at that, but
he's
anyway,
so pathetic.
He really is.
Yes, exactly.
Because, like, he doesn't want to kill Quinn because he doesn't want to kill his father. And that's, like, a normal thing. Whereas Quinn's like, yeah, okay, since you didn't want to kill me, I'm gonna kill you now.
Yeah, I like that, like, there was almost, like, a moment of surprise, like, where Quinn was like, did I really just do that? And, like, yeah, I did. But I think the reason, there's something relatable about Ryder. I mean, he's awful and pathetic and whatever.
He's a freaking coward.
Well, yeah. I think his cowardice is very relatable.
That's true.
We are all cowards. I'm a coward.
I feel like coward is a strong word. I don't know if I would apply it. I mean, I think we all have, you know, we're all brave in certain areas and then cowards in other areas. So I guess that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so Ryder, yeah, what about Ryder? You seem like you were about to go on a little speech about him.
Ryder.
Speech over.
No, I just... You saw him at his best, and then you saw him at his worst.
Did he ever really have a best, though?
I think
he peaked, but I don't know if I would call that best.
Well, if it's a peak, it is technically his best.
It's his best, but it's not.
It's not a best. It's his best.
It's his best, but I didn't find it super impressive.
It's still his best.
True.
So this is, you know, when he was giving the speech to the other barons, and they all actually voted with him. So
he does have some leadership qualities, apparently.
I don't see them, but apparently they did.
Right.
Unless it's all an undercover plot by Waldo.
Unlikely.
So
I don't think Waldo would ally himself with someone so stupid. I mean, he did for a brief while in season one, but that was very brief.
Yeah.
Then he switched over to Widow, because Widow's obviously a lot more competent and smarter than Ryder is. I mean, it's not a very high bar
yeah,
of fear,
I think she's one sure, of but. True. But I think the Widow is one of the smarter characters yeah. in the show.
So, for some reason, the recording cut off, so we're back. Hopefully it's not too out of sync. Anyway, so we were talking about Ryder, and then the fact that, I guess he peaked, apparently.
He did.
Did I have anything else about Ryder? I mean, he's such an idiot. Who runs into a freaking hedge maze?
I know.
Who runs into a hedge maze? That's like Nobody. A recipe for disaster, dude. You're gonna no. just gonna die.
Well, I mean, when I can't think of her name. Ryder's girlfriend.
Oh yeah, I always forget her name too. Jade.
Jade, thank you. I could not think of it for the life of me, and I don't think it was said in this episode. when Jade, like, sees Quinn, that's a great moment. But when Jade is trying to basically plead for Ryder's life, and you see Ryder running away in the background, I'm just like,
and
oh
Quinn
my god, girl.
Sees it too, because he's like, yeah, okay, bye.
Oh, yeah, because, like,
my gosh.
Jade, I mean, I think Jade did enjoy being the power behind the throne in a way.
I feel like Jade was the power behind, like,
yeah,
she had more power than, well, she did have more power than Ryder, because technically he was at the Conclave, not her. But, like, she could have, like, in another universe, she could have risen up and then, like, I don't know, done a Widow and, like, killed Ryder and, like, usurped the throne or something. Like, she could have done something, you know?
Yeah, but I think, strangely enough, she genuinely cares about Ryder.
Right. But, I mean, she could have, like, say he died in battle or something. She could have taken over, and it wouldn't have
yeah.
been... I mean, I think it would have run pretty well. Aside from her lack of fighting skills, which I think she develops, because I remember seeing some Jade fight scenes in, I think, the trailer for this mm-hmm. season or something. Anyway, so, yep.
Yeah, Ryder's runs
Ryder
away.
Runs into the hedges like an idiot.
And he kind of deserves whatever happens to him because he did this.
Yeah, dude. Like, you didn't even try. You didn't even try to run around the hedge maze. You ran straight into the hedge maze.
Well, I mean, he was trying... I mean, there's a
logic
to it.
It's very dramatic, right? It's very dramatic, right?
Well, there's a logic to it. Because, like, you're like, oh, let me, like, get... He won't be able to find me. I won't be able to find him. Blah, blah, blah.
That's
a... But...
No, that's not logical. I just...
Well, I'm not... I mean, it's not like... It wasn't a good idea, obviously. But that's, I think, what he was probably thinking.
Yeah, I mean, what's probably more likely is he's just running on adrenaline and fear and just, like, running any which way and, like, just
yeah.
gets caught in there. But we all love a good horror hedge maze with fog coming out of every hedge. Like, it's just
no,
a good
right?
time. It's just a good time.
You know what I love about that is that Ryder is clearly running and then Quinn is clearly walking.
It's great.
And Quinn catches up with Ryder.
It's a good contrast. I loved it. Yeah, no, it was good. What else?
But it was weird because, like, what did Quinn want in that moment?
I don't know if Quinn even knows what he wants anymore, man. Like, what?
Good point. I don't
It's Quinn.
We are to excuse his irrationality because of a tumor we've forgotten about.
Right? The whole tumor subplot, it's like, it's one, I mean, a lot of TV shows will do a thing where they try to drop a lot of hints in, like, the first episode or two of, like, certain character traits or flaws, and they drop it entirely because it's just not relevant to the story anymore. But this was, like, an established thing. Like, you can't just drop the tumor plot line.
Yeah, this
I
was
mean,
a sizable
piece of
season
one. Or you
can,
apparently. Apparently, you can't just drop the tumor plot line and pretend everything's fine. But it's so dumb. Ugh.
Yeah. Basically. I mean, maybe there's an explanation that we just don't understand. Maybe we're missing something extremely obvious, and it is our flaw, not the show's.
It's definitely not our flaw. So, anything about... I always say you gotta do the double tap. I mean, He probably does not qualify for Ryder. I'm pretty sure that dude is dead. However, as we have seen with Quinn being the primary example, if you don't double tap, you don't know they're dead for sure. Rule number one, double tap. When you kill someone, if you, like, say you shoot him in the head and you kill them, guess what? Shoot him again, because are you really sure they're dead? Are you really sure? Do you want Quinn Ryder? Like, I don't think I was... I know they're not bringing Ryder back. I know he's dead. But, like, if he was a Quinn-type character and they didn't do double tap, you know he's coming back. So it's like...
Well, I guess you could make the quote-unquote argument that Quinn is more determined than Ryder and that's why he survived. But that's not how medical things work.
Yeah. I mean, apparently in the realm of the Badlands it is, because he apparently defeated a tumor with only his willpower to survive. Yeah. But
Ryder is weak, man. And he is probably dead.
No, yeah, he's not coming back. That was really a death scene, you know?
It was kind of disappointing, even though I hate Ryder.
It was like, I was like, I'm happy to see that you're dead and you just got killed, but at the same time, I'm a little bit disappointed. Like, I don't know.
I feel like it's not even that he didn't reach his full potential, because he definitely did. but I think I really liked the Jade Ryder dynamic.
Mm.
And I feel like I'm going to miss that. Because I liked that, you know, kind of, they worked really well together, and Ryder would, he didn't mind letting Jade do the stuff he didn't know how to do.
And you know who's also a widow now?
Yes.
Jade!
I do.
I'm just saying, it could lead to a very interesting, like, more, because it's like, I feel like revenge is like the Badlands thing, so it could also be like, now she has to get revenge against Quinn and all that good stuff.
Yeah, so she teams up with the widow.
Ooh, widow cube.
Squared.
Squared makes more sense than cube in this case. Widow squared.
But it's interesting, though, because, I mean, we were talking about the Conclave, and so we're kind of jumping around a little bit, but, you know, the widow is voted down. She's stripped of her title and her land, and the widow goes, heck no.
Over my dead body, y'all.
You will take this over my dead body. And, you know, the whole fight is about to begin. But then once Quinn comes back, all the alliances just begin to fade away.
Yeah. But,
I mean, like, the widow is now a good ally for some of the barons, because she can actually stand up to Quinn.
So, question for you. It was hard to tell because of the way they shot it. Presumably everyone except for the widow, Waldo, Tilda, and Quinn... And, like, Ryder for a very short period of time, and Jade. Presumably, they all died in the courtyard, right? But I don't remember seeing any of the dead bodies. It didn't look like any of them were barons, or did the barons
I don't think
escape?
The barons... I don't remember seeing any of the barons dying. I think they fought until they could run away.
Mm. Okay. Because it seemed unclear to me if any of the barons were killed. But it also seemed like... It seemed like all the people on the ground were mooks, so...
Right. I feel like if it was a baron, they would have lingered a little bit more.
True.
But that courtyard fight scene was just...
Oh, so good.
It was a thing of beauty.
And the thing where both of the women, like Chow and the widow, did the flip. Oh.
Yeah.
That was great. That was such a so good. I loved it.
It was so good. And, like, we got to see Waldo doing more fighting,
which is so epic. So good. I think Waldo's kind of like the widow and Chow insofar as, like, he uses this perception of him.
Yes.
Of him as, like, a weak old guy in a wheelchair to his advantage.
Yeah, exactly.
So I enjoyed that.
And then it was interesting because Tilda got the chance to basically save him.
Right, yeah. Because I was like, this could go so horribly wrong if Tilda barges in. But she didn't mess it up this time, so that was great.
I was very surprised.
Because we've seen her do this kind of thing before. Remember when she was, when she went to the graveyard?
Yeah.
And she, like, threw a freaking hatchet? And how that went down? Like, that was a hot mess. But this was, like, a work of art.
No, this was...
This was good.
It didn't feel like the right decision to make at the time for her.
But it worked out.
But it did work out. I don't know if... The Widow might be, like, annoyed and mad, but...
But I don't think she'll be that annoyed and mad. Not, like, in the previous episodes. Yeah. Because it seemed like she actually did save the day in this case. Like I said, Chow is too cool to kill off. I also really love... I think this is a shout-out to Enter the Dragon, which is a Bruce Lee film. But I absolutely love that, like, crazy claw finger thing she was wearing. It was so good. It was so good. So good. I love that character. I've known her for, like, 2 seconds, and already she's so great.
You know, I really liked all of the hidden weapons.
That was great. Once all the hidden weapons started coming out, it was like, surprise!
Yeah, okay, let me just say that, like, the fact that she has, like, her weapons, like, in her hair, the Widow, I mean, I love that. It was predictable, but so good. That is my level. Like, I've always wanted to include a character in something that I write, where they store a weapon in their hair for decoration and then can pull it out at a moment's notice. That has been my goal and my dream. Thank you.
I'm trying to find a... okay, I have a picture of... I think I have a picture of the Enter the Dragon villain's claw hand thing. Oh, that looks way different than I remembered. It's just like... It's literally just a bunch of knives attached to a block, attached to his arm. it's like Wolverine, but without the hand, basically.
Okay.
Interesting. I don't remember it looking like that. Maybe I'm thinking about... Oh, you know what I'm probably thinking about? I think I'm thinking about Lady Gaga's hand accessory thing. You know when she was, like, in American Horror Story for, like, 2 seconds?
I didn't watch it, but okay.
I didn't watch it either, but I think I'm thinking about that hand prop thing, because she also had this weird claw hand thing going on.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Oh, I had a comment about Quinn.
Quinn is awesome in that he's awful.
What was it? It was something about... I know we talked about all these hidden weapons. I had a comment about Quinn, but I can't remember it. But anyway, I really liked this episode. I did say at the very end. My last comment was, what did I just watch? But I mean that in a good way. Because I was like, there's just so much. It was such an action-packed episode.
Yes,
man.
So much happened. So much. And I was, you know, like, I can't even imagine Sunny being in this episode. Because it was so not Sunny-related. But it was really good. And also extremely depressing. But it set things up for the future. It was much a transformative episode. Where Quinn comes out of the darkness and takes... I don't know if he's taking his rightful place back, or...
But it just feels... It feels right.
It feels right, yeah. Is he going to become another Baron, like, again? I don't know.
He kind of has, like, rescinded his Baroness
title.
I was going to say Baroness, but yeah, he's kind of rejected it now, right?
You said
he's
so embraced his new identity. Yeah, I don't know
what
his next move is. Because I know he... I mean, he definitely wanted... to get back at Ryder. Yeah. And after that, I don't know.
Let's talk a little
bit. Is he going
about...
to find Lydia?
Does he even care about Lydia anymore? Didn't she betray him? Like, I'm so confused.
No. He thought that she betrayed him and sent her away. But in fact, she did not.
Oh, right. It was all set up as a Jade, right?
Yep.
Yeah. I want to talk a little bit about Quinn and Ryder and the whole death scene thing.
Yeah.
The way I interpreted that, I know you're talking about how it's like, it's kind of weird, it doesn't really make sense, because, like, isn't Quinn trying to get back and get revenge and whatever? So, like, why would he give Ryder the chance to kill him? But I thought it was supposed to be some kind of thing where it's like, I'm giving you the chance to, like, take what's yours and, you know, kill me.
No.
And he doesn't, and I don't, it's like Quinn has that thing where he, like, values, like, ruthlessness, right? So, like, even though it doesn't really make sense, it's like kind of almost like a handicap, like, I'm gonna just give you this one for free, and he just didn't take that opportunity, so It's like, alright, now it's time to kill you because you couldn't live up to my expectations. The son must die.
Well, it was very much reminiscent of the previous episode where he gives that chance to the other kid.
Yeah. And he took it, right?
And he took it, right. But he's always been disappointed in Ryder. And Ryder True. Just doesn't have the same drive that Quinn does.
He's also not a freaking psychopath. Like, Correct. Ryder's a lot of things, but he's not gonna kill his father. Like,
it's and that is his flaw.
And that's apparently a flaw in the balance. I mean, like, I also think of it like, you know, that kid who he used to, like, sneak in and pretend to be innocent or whatever, who did take Quinn up on his little offer of, like, attacking Quinn. Like, they don't have the same relationship. Quinn's not his dad, you know?
Right.
Like, how could Quinn possibly... But Quinn doesn't think like a normal, rational human being. He just Quinn.
He doesn't value, like, familial relationships the same
way. In
that
way, yeah.
I think he values more, like, relationships that he's built. So he wants to build one with Henry, but also the one that he's built with Sonny was also valuable to him.
Right.
But Ryder has always been a disappointment.
Right. But in the end, he still didn't build up a relationship with Sonny where Sonny was able to, you know, live the life he wanted, and, you know, he obviously didn't. He trusted Sonny to an extent, but...
Right.
You know.
He did, and...
It's Quinn. I feel like I have to preface or whatever the opposite of preface is with everything saying, or end it with saying, it's Quinn. You know?
Yeah. But I feel like if Ryder had been more like Sonny,
right,
then their relationship would have been completely different.
Yeah.
But sure. He couldn't be like Sonny because of the way that Quinn treated Ryder. He didn't value him at all.
Yeah.
And instead of driving Ryder to become better, it just made him aggressive and angry.
And bitter. Yeah.
I hope that doesn't happen to you, Sonny. And your child.
Oh, I wasn't even thinking that far ahead, but yeah. Any final notes about this episode, Melissa?
Well, when I finished it, I was thinking how much I did not want to podcast about it, because that means that I watch it week to week, and all I wanted to do was to watch the next episode. I want to know what happens now.
Well,
thank you.
Well, you can watch the next episode right now.
Maybe I will.
Yeah. No, I mean, I know we kind of relentlessly crapped on this show, like, especially in season one, but I feel like it's really got its sea legs now, you know? Like...
Yeah. It's a good show.
Yeah. I mean, we mercilessly make fun of its flaws, because that's what we do.
And, well, I think it's because it takes itself so seriously.
Yeah, if it had some self-awareness, it would be a little bit different.
Yeah. It's so... unaware of how ridiculous it is. I mean, I like the show.
Yeah.
Do I love the show? Probably not. But
it's entertaining.
Like, it's a strong like.
Yeah. Yeah. It's entertaining. It's no.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I think I would like the show even more if I just sat down and binged it.
I really do like spacing it out, but I know that's like two schools of thought right there. And
well, okay, when a show is really good, sometimes I like spacing it out. But when a show has a few flaws, sometimes when you crunch all the episodes together, you don't notice them as much.
I mean, yeah. I don't... With shows in general, and hopefully these are my last words about... I don't know. I want to kind of wrap up the pod soon.
Yeah, no.
But I think, like... I think a good show, any kind of serialized storytelling, whether it's like a webcomic or a TV season or something, it should be able to... I think the strongest ones are the ones where individual episodes are strong enough to stand on their own and be entertaining, but also when it's when you watch it as a whole in full from, like, you know, start to finish, it still works, you know?
Yeah, that's fair.
So, like, I don't know. I mean, I'm glad they had the last time on Into the Badlands intro, because I totally forgot everything, because it's been months, literally months.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, I remembered enough, I guess. I don't know if Badlands is the strongest show, but it does a decent job.
It does fine.
Yeah, it does fine. So.
It's Quinn.
It's Quinn. Okay, so I guess that's it for this episode of Sci-Fi and Color. Again, check us out on social media, Facebook, Tumblr, Twitter, email us. And we will talk to you next week. Bye.
Bye-bye.